This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Boy, oh boy, oh boy, Don Bailey. Still licking our wounds from Saturday. If it wasn't bad enough, then Tuesday came along. But let's start with Saturday. I'm still furious. I think I'm furious with the Jalen Rivers call, and I'm frustrated with Jacoby George.
My assessment on Jalen Rivers is it was maybe the best block he's made since he's been in college football. It was 100% clean. The back judge was 10 or 15 yards behind the play and threw the flag when the back was 14 yards from the line of scrimmage. And I've watched it numerous times, Joe. And of course, I'm always going to side with the offensive lineman, but in this case, it was the worst call that I've seen in years, and it was an absolute perfect block by Jalen. He just really pancaked the guy, and from the inside copy, from the backside, there was no arms sticking out, nothing wrapped around, no square dancing, and it was just a horrible, horrible call. And as far as Jacoby George, I'm not so sure that didn't cost the game. There's 25 things on each side of the football you can come back to, but that was as bad a play by him or as anybody. What he did standing 1 foot from an official, I just don't get it. And we went, the 8 to the 23, and from first down to second down, and a totally different mindset as far as analytics go, and a totally different set of play calls. And it was devastating.
Everybody has been tossing around the decision to kick the field goal, which I said well before that, when the ball got backed up, they would have to consider a field goal. And I think when you replay what happened, you have first down at the 8 or 9 yard line. Jacoby George gets that penalty. You now have second down at the 23 yard line. If you're second down at the 9 yard line, perhaps you're running Damian Martinez. But the sequence of events are now you're second down. On second down, they're playing pass coverage. Third down, they're playing pass coverage. Your playbook was just completely shrunk.
The penalty yardage and the loss of down completely blew up all your advantages on that part of the field. For Syracuse, you put them in a position being at the 23 that all they had to do was rush three, cover with eight, or rush four, cover with seven. They could play, in reality, prevent defense. They could play whatever they wanted.
The picket fence. They're going to play a picket fence across the goal line.
Absolutely. And you go with, from the 8-yard line, we averaged, not counting the 55-yard play that was pulled off by the horrible call of the official on Jalen, but we're averaging 5 yards a carry. And our short yardage goal line this year has been excellent in the running game. We're at the 8-yard line. We're running the football in. They don't even think about throwing. They're going to run the football in and power their way in. And at the 23, your play calls are so limited, and you are in a position that just it was uncalled for. I mean, it's a whole different playbook, defensively as much as offensively. Here's the other thing. I'm really far more of penalties than you are. I mean, that's just our personality, but I will tell you that penalty there was beyond anything imaginable. It's one thing, Joe, when you have a penalty and it's in the heat of the battle, okay? That's one thing. It's one thing when you have a penalty and things get a little yippy and yappy, and you think you can get away with it 1 foot in front of an official. And the whole conference knows that he's been called on those type things forever. Every single opponent, the coach goes to the official and says, watch the George kid. He's a problem. Every single pregame.
Well, I'm not sure if it's Hyde or Jekyll, which one's the bad guy, but that one emerged at the worst possible time. After the game on Saturday, Cam Ward stood up and talked with Don Bailey Jr. Here's what Cam Ward had to say after the game. Cam Ward, Cam Ward. Here's what Cam Ward had to say after the game.
Tough loss today. Tell us your thoughts.
Just didn't get the job done. Key crucial plays on both sides of the ball didn't get the job done. That's why we lost the game. It was always just one play. Both sides of the ball had a bad play at a given moment. You know, that was the reason why we lost the game. Both sides didn't make enough plays.
Coach talked about to this football team that you, right now it hurts. It's supposed to hurt. It's going to hurt. But there was a lot that was accomplished this season on this football team.
A lot was accomplished. Our main goal wasn't accomplished, but I mean we're blessed. We won 10 games this year. Not a lot of teams can do that. So you know, we're blessed to get people out healthy. We got a chance at a bowl game. I mean we blessed at the end of the day.
When you coach talked about it and you've talked about it too, Miami really caused their own problems today. I mean, that's really what it boils down to. You could say Syracuse, yes, was a good opponent, but Miami had a lot of self-inflicted wounds.
Especially on a couple third downs of offense, it was self-inflicted. Pretty sure defense had some miscommunication, but, you know, the end of the day, both sides of the ball didn't play enough to win. They didn't play good enough to win, and that's why we got the result that we got.
Talk about your senior class, guys that you came in with, some of them and some that have been here, but the importance of that bond with all of you guys.
It's a special bond. Everybody, we're brothers for life. We love each other. This is one of the best group of guys I've been around in college, the best teams I've been around. The relationship that we have off the field is what's going to keep us going. I can't wait to have these guys at the cookout when I'm old and stuff, so... it's a special season. Those guys, they blessed me. They made me a better person. They made me a better leader. So you know, I get to play quarterback on the best team. So you know, I'm grateful.
Coach talked about also just falling short of the goal. Right, the goal was to go to the ACC championship game, and then of course to keep going after that. But when you look back, what did you learn about the University of Miami and this football team?
I learned that talent isn't enough. You got to be disciplined. You got to have a chip on your shoulder. Talent will never get the job done.
Well, Cam, I'm going to thank you on behalf of a whole lot of Hurricane fans and former players. Thank you for being here, and thank you for being the type of young man that you are and representing this university and this football team every single day, every single snap, and we're proud that you're a Miami Hurricane.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Okay, buddy. Thank you.
All right, that's Cam Ward, ACC Player of the Year. A lot of fun to watch all season. Probably the most fun we've had watching a player in the last 20 years. Damn shame that most likely will not get a chance to compete in the playoff and the postseason. But he was simply dazzling all year.
Yeah, you know, Joe, the thing that I liked about him was, you know, I'm not going to talk about the field, but the consistency. You know, when you just think about him every single game being accessible, I mean, and maintaining his composure with us, and just took the role from the second that he walked on campus and into that athletic center, that I've been here forever. I am a Hurricane. I respect the traditions, and I'm going to do everything I can to help this football team win. And he approached it the most professional way that you can approach it every single day. And I don't know, between you and I, I don't know if there's anybody that's down there more, but I never heard one peep or saw anything with my own eyes that just was made me scratch my head about him. He was just a pro, and he certainly was has been and is a great asset to this University of Miami, not only as a football player, but as a representative for years to come.
Okay, when we come back, we'll hear from Coach Cristobal. We'll discuss what's coming up with Miami's future, plus recruiting. Larry Bluestein stops by the show to break down the Hurricanes recruiting class. That's all coming up. A quick 1 hour Hurricane Hotline as we lead you in to Florida Panthers hockey. It is the holiday season. Ho, ho, ho. And if you are in the market for a new automobile, may I suggest Williamson Cadillac. Williamson Cadillac, the holiday season, it's their season. And they are more than just a dealership. They are our friends. They are our neighbors. And who you want to spend the holidays with? Your family. And that's what you are considered when you go to Williamson Cadillac. You are family. They have built a loyal client base because they've stayed focused on one thing: the customer experience. Customers are always treated like family. Customers get treated like royalty. So if you want to enjoy world-class customer service during this holiday season, and you know what the holidays can be, crazy, right? Well, if you purchase a new Cadillac from Williamson Cadillac, you are going to have a great experience. It's going to make your holiday season. And new vehicles are arriving every single day. I'm telling you, Santa and the elves are sending those vehicles down the assembly line, boom, boom, boom. The CT4, the CT5, the XT5, the XT6, and the all-new electric Lyric. Santa's sending them to Williamson every single day. So if you want to experience the best in customer service, Williamson Cadillac's preferred atmosphere, and it's easy to find, located on US 1 at 104th Street, just south of the Palmetto. You can check them out online at WilliamsonAutomotiveGroup.com. Stop by during the holidays. See Ed Williamson. He's like Santa Claus. And, of course, Mrs. Claus, that's Carol Williamson. Get the most out of the South Florida lifestyle and experience a new Cadillac from your luxury dealership, Williamson Cadillac. Williamson is Miami. All right, happy to welcome you back. Still to come, Larry Bluestein, Mario Cristobal in 1 second, his comments on recruiting and the Hurricanes situation. Deeply disappointing, DBJ. Hurricanes right now on the outside looking in to the playoffs, and it doesn't look like it's going to change.
No, it doesn't, Joe. They basically, the committee said, is unless you're playing, where you are is where you'll stay. And I don't know if that's true, but that's the message that they're sending to us.
They said Miami lost 2 out of 3. And I went, well, so did Alabama. That was in October they lost 2 out of 3. Is there a difference between October and November? Does it matter when you lose 2 out of 3? If you took, and by the way, when Ward Manuel talks, I feel dumber. If you took the five worst losses in college football this year, the five worst losses in college football, two of them belong to Alabama, at Vanderbilt, at Vanderbilt, and then at Oklahoma, both as 20-point favorites. I don't know what the other three would be. Probably probably Ohio State at home against Michigan. So if you took the worst five losses,
Notre Dame. Don't forget Notre Dame's loss.
Oh, Notre Dame against Northern Illinois. That would be right in there also.
Yeah. That would be it. I mean, I can keep you going. I like that, Joe. I like when you get a little hot like that.
Yeah. Well, I would just say, though,
I don't understand it. Listen, there's a chance, right? They tell us there's not, but there's a chance. Yeah. And at the end of the day, being raised a Miami Hurricane, you know this. You better take all the doubt. Don't ever leave it in anybody else's hands if you're a UM person, because they'll darn sure find a way to take it from you if they can.
All right, here's what Coach Cristobal had to say yesterday.
Still processing, there's confidence and trust that people will process and give consideration to what is real. Like you mentioned, there is a 28 and a 26 in there, and there's a reason they go all the way to 30 and 35 sometimes, and that was discounted or not really mentioned. Neither was a 4-2 road record against bowl-eligible teams as opposed to a 1-3 record. No one brought up the data points of the simplicity of watching film, right? Fourth quarter, Alabama, South Florida, 21-16. Fourth quarter, 5 minutes left in the game, Miami and South Florida, different score, or a crossover game with the SEC, which we know what that result was. So that and so many other things have come up, and hopefully things will continue to be reviewed and considered so that things can be done justly, because it's exponentially harder to win a 10th game during the season than there is, an 8th, a 9th, whatnot. So, and winning, as we keep hearing, winning is important, so hopefully that'll be considered.
How have you balanced today versus, I'm sure you've gotten a lot of questions from the guys on the 2024 team. What do we do now?
There's not many questions. There aren't many questions. We were disappointed with our last game, but we're disappointed because we've raised expectations at the University of Miami, and there's a lot to be proud of in a 10-1 season, but we wanted 11 and beyond. And we're going to get a chance at 11 coming up in some way, shape, or form. And that's what the focus is on, to accomplish something that hasn't been done in, 24, 23 plus years. And not knowing, again, what Sunday may lead to. Again, because I'm very, I trust that, and I have confidence that things at the end will be viewed the way that they should be viewed, and who knows how that thing's going to work.
You said last week that your goals are always top five, top 10 recruiting classes, and depending on which survey you look at it, right now you're between like 12 and 14-ish. Mm-hmm. I know you have your own evaluation, and I'm sure you like the guys that you brought in, but just what got in the way, what made it difficult to get that extra level?
Well, we chose not to sign the 26, 27 range. I think that plays a huge role into it, because that's an accumulation of points as well. It is the top class in the conference right now, and we filled our needs at the high school ranks at the areas we feel we need high school players, and we're also looking at certain parts of our team that need portal players. So that's where the balance is.
And speaking of the portal, I know it hasn't opened yet officially. Just what are some of the, I know you want to upgrade it everywhere you can, but what are some of the target position that you're looking at for portal upgrades?
Well, I'd love to fill you in on all that stuff, but strategically, it's something we don't do. We keep airtight and we keep in-house. We certainly don't want to allow our recruiting strategies to be assessed, analyzed, or used against us in any way, shape, or form. So I think it's important that we trust a process that has proven that taking a team from 5 wins to 7 teams to 7 wins to 10 wins in the regular season with a team that's competitive in every outing that we have had, and a future that is bright because we have recruited well at the high school level. We're not a team that was strictly portal driven. We have really, really, really good high school players at every position that are developing and are doing well. And as you study the landscape of recruiting and just roster management, the portal is more active than ever, has been more active than ever. So you prepare to gain, you prepare to lose some, you prepare to move some on, you prepare to bring some in. But all in all, you make sure you're doing right by these young men and their families. and always doing right by the University of Miami and doing everything possible to continue elevating the program.
You've always had the reputation, going back to when you were on staff here, you know, a lifetime ago, that you've always been an accomplished recruiter. People have said that for a long time. At your other stops, they said the same thing, of course. How has it all just changed in the portal era? Like, is it as simple as just identify talent, or is it not that simple anymore?
No, it's not. I mean, there's money and there's access involved, and that changes everything, right? And you have the responsibility of being resourceful, and sometimes it comes down to, I don't know, sometimes teams get outbid, you know, price points go to a certain range where that's become part of the game. I don't complain about that. It is what it is. It's different. It's completely different. But it certainly, it creates advantages for those that can supplement, you know, the recruiting efforts with certain resources. And then it hinders those that don't or can't or that won't. Relationships still play a key role in the whole thing. And then there's some, you know, it's pretty wild. It's pretty wild, and it's very different than it was first starting in this thing. And look, there's a lot of things that I don't love about the way things have gone in terms of football and the evolution of all these different things. But I love football more, and I dislike all those other things. So we just pour into the things that are important to make sure that, again, we could do right by our guys and keep elevating the program.
All right, that's Mario Cristobal. So a couple things. One, unless something dramatically changes on Sunday, which I doubt it will, I think Miami will stay in the state for a bowl game. I'm pretty sure the Gator Bowl, they're going to want to take the Florida Gators. So that's probably going to leave Miami and Orlando. The recruiting class looked like there's some more interior help, Don. Inside help both on the defensive line and offensive line.
Yeah, an area that will constantly be focused on by Coach Cristobal because he just absolutely believes that if you can win the line of scrimmage on both sides of the football, you'll be in a position to win a whole lot of games. And that's proven true. He's done a great job of upgrading both of those sides of the football since he's been here. And as you mentioned, the signing class has really shown up again that the line of scrimmage is very, very important to them. And I happen to be a big believer in that myself. And, you know, ask Cam Ward, one of the reasons that he came to the University of Miami was because of that offensive line. And it was the offensive line that protected him, but also allowed for a running game, which made things successful for him as well.
I think, you know, you build with an offensive line like that, that becomes very attractive to quarterbacks. They have a quarterback in this class. I don't know if they go in the portal for another quarterback or not. I'm not sure what their feelings would be. Emory Williams is still here, and they feel very good about Emory. But if they go into the portal for a quarterback, I imagine one of the first things you sell is, hey, we've got a wall in front of you.
Well, if you just have them sit down and watch tape, and, you know, it's going to be a quick find that you're dealing with an offensive line that's coming back that's going to be very, very productive and committed to the running game and committed to quarterback protection. And, you know, I think it's really, if you're going to win the championships and continue to try and build on 10 win seasons, you have to have it. And as long as Coach Mirabal is here, and I know as long as Coach Cristobal is here, that offensive line will definitely be a big focus, as it should be.
Okay, when we come back, Larry Bluestein will join us. Also want to jump into the importance of the next game for Miami, whatever it might be with whoever it might be. But there is one thing that stands out to me about the next game. We'll talk about recruiting and that with Old Blue when we come back on the hotline right after this.